Being a follower of Jesus is not always easy. The world is fallen. People are sinful. We have a real enemy. And as God grows us to be more Christ-like, sometimes that can be a painful process. And sometimes the Lord asks difficult things of us. Perhaps you've had to walk away from somebody that you loved or a job you loved. Perhaps you've had to let go of hopes and dreams because God had a different path for you. Perhaps the Spirit prodded you to forgive someone who didn't really deserve to be forgiven, or to give sacrificially to someone who didn't use it in a godly way. Perhaps you've had to let go of a prodigal child and trust they are still in God's hands. Discipleship can be costly. And we will be asked to surrender those things that are precious to us to follow Jesus. We will be called to give of our time and our talent and our treasures sacrificially. And we may lose family or friends over our decision to follow Christ. And we may lose jobs or reputation or social standing because we won't compromise on certain principles. In a world that is increasingly secular and post-Christian, we will either need to be all in, or like the church in Laodicea in Revelation, we're going to be spit out. There's no lukewarm Christians in a world where truth is so relative. Our epistle reading today is from Romans 8. And let me put that in context. One passage, it comes at the end of a section on sanctification, and before Paul goes on to expound on the importance of the Jewish people in the kingdom. Chapter 6 focuses on the Christian being free from the slavery of sin, and chapter 7 on the Christian being free from the weight of the law. And then Paul crescendos with Romans 8, considered by many to be one of the greatest chapters in the whole of the Bible. It's the answer to the allure of sin and legalism that Paul's just discussed. It's about praise, and it's an assurance. The believer is a child of God that cannot be parted from God's protection and care ever. Trust, because in our most desperate moments, when suffering, grief, despair, whatever trouble we're in, know that Romans 8 can be your lifeline. Pray it. Use it as a template for prayer. It begins with a summary of the justification and the assurance that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It confirms we are heirs with Christ and that the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And in it, Paul reminds us that we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. In Romans 8:26-27, Paul points to all that he said up to this point. We are in Christ through our baptism. And at our baptism, we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. If you're following our Lenten devotional, which comes out on Tuesdays, this past week was all about the meaning and responsibility of baptism. Probably not an accident. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. We are weak, and he speaks for us. And that's not just that we can't come up with the right words. He prays when we don't know what we need, and he prays when we're incapable of prayer. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is our basis for confidence in God's assurance and his love for us. And that's the context for our passage today. So we're going to look at Romans 8:31-39 in your Bible. You can follow along in your bulletin, or it's in the Blue Bible on page 944. Romans 8, starting at the 31st verse. It begins with a question of where do we turn for security, comfort, and protection? If not through the distraction of sin or things that distract us, or through the false security of rules, where should we go? And Paul begins a series of questions in answer to that. He points to the certainty of God's assurance for his people. If God is for us, who can be against us? It's rhetorical and theoretical, but it's also practical. For the first century Romans, they lived in a very dangerous world. It was important to be assured that no matter how it looked, God was with them and for them. Psalm 118 was probably in Paul's mind when he wrote this. It says, "The Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Just a few years later, Christians in Rome would undergo terrible persecution under the Emperor Nero, which many were tortured and killed. This is when Peter and Paul lost their lives. But through that persecution, the Lord was with them and for them. And while we may not be facing literally hungry lions today like the Roman Christians, we all face lions in our personal lives and in the culture around us. Think about what those might be for you. What are your obstacles? Because we live in a dangerous world as well. Loved one gets sick, friends die, jobs are lost, marriages end. Lives can be hard. So the question is God sovereign or not? If God is for us, who can be against us? It's a good question because not only are when circumstances are difficult, but we also spend a lot of time worrying about temporal issues that will not remain. How often do we worry about things that haven't even happened yet or are fleeting? God is sovereign even when we don't understand how everything works together for good. Because there's no guarantee in our lives, there's no guarantee of freedom or our health or prosperity or success. Sometimes being in the center of God's will doesn't feel like a blessing. In verse 32, Paul writes that God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. He's talking, of course, about Jesus dying on the cross, but it's an allusion to the story of Abraham and the binding of Isaac that we read today. It's a key story in Christian, Jewish, and Islamic theology. As the father of monotheism, Abraham is commended for his obedience to the one true God. Now, I don't know why God chose to test Abraham like that, and I don't know why Abraham didn't argue. Why did he obey without question? We know he questioned the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, so why not the sacrifice of his son? There's no satisfactory answer to that, and theologians have been thinking about it for millennia. In any case, God did not let him go through with the killing of Isaac. Abraham's beloved son did not die because God provided another sacrifice. But for the father, there was no last-minute reprieve. His son was sacrificed. He gave his beloved son for us, and Jesus willingly died on the cross to reconcile us with God. Paul writes that that father didn't just stop with the sacrificial death of his son, but he goes on to graciously give us all things we need for salvation. It's absolute assurance. And lastly, Paul points to the assurance of protection by God because we as Christians are loved by him. There's nothing that will separate us from Jesus' love and intercession once we are believers. Well, there will always be hungry lions, always those who will be against us. They will not prevail. Romans 8 acknowledges suffering through injustice, hatred, persecution, circumstances. It acknowledges suffering through sin and from evil. And it acknowledges suffering because we are faithful to God. None of those things can disconnect us from the love of God. We are more than conquerors. Well, this doesn't mean we don't actually suffer or that we can somehow muscle through suffering and overcome it on our own. It means that suffering can be transformed because God is present in the suffering. The God of love is so present, so near, that nothing can part us from him. Not death or the circumstances of life, not angels or those in the powers of the world, nor things in the present like temptations or the uncertainty of the future, not demons or things in the heavens, the skies, or things in hell. Nothing in all creation is able to part us from the love of God in Christ Jesus as Christians. We are safely held in the hands of the Lord. What are you going through in your life? Are you disappointed, desperate, anxious, sick, grieving? Have you suffered loss or tragedy? How angry are you with God in difficult times? Do your doubts threaten to overwhelm you? God is so vast, so big, so loving, so compassionate that all your feelings are safe with him, even the negative ones. And I want to talk about that because I think we have trouble with that. And I'll use myself as an example. After a year of COVID, I'm exhausted and I'm grieving. There's been terrible loss of life and health and connection. And I'm angry that the pandemic is still going on and still disrupting life. I'm sick of wearing masks. I'm sick of not being able to hug people. And I'm struggling to what to do with all the pain I see around me. Stress makes my chronic migraines worse, and I've been under a lot of stress. And let me be honest, I haven't had it that bad. Many of you have had things that are much harder. I work with hospice patients every week and who clearly are in a much worse place than I am. Their suffering's hard to watch. And as I read the news, I see that too many have lost too much. Jobs, food, and housing insecurity is wake up. Millions have gotten sick, and a shocking number have died from COVID and its complications. There's injustice and inequity wherever I look. How do I not get mad or feel overwhelmed? How do I minister to others when I'm hurting? What do I do with all those feelings? Can I yell at God about it? Can I complain that I don't understand the theology of suffering? It's not fair. Can I tell God that I don't feel him sometimes when the hungry lions are right at my door? I can, because the assurance of my salvation is secure. He's bigger than my anger or my doubt. God wants every part of us. We are made in his image, and we are to give to God what's God's. That means we have to give all of ourselves, the good and the bad, the successes and the failures, the negative and the positive emotions, and the parts we want to show and the parts we would rather hide. Romans 8 is a lighthouse for me in the dark night. I'm assured that nothing imagined will be able to separate me or any of us who are Christians from the Lord. All our sins and failings are redeemable because we are loved by a God who is more vast than the universe, but closer than the breath in your lungs. Think about that. Are you convinced of that love and protection? Paul is reminding us as believers that we are more than conquerors. We have victory through the work of Christ and the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 is like calling 911 when we can't breathe because it assures us that help is there. We are not alone and we can be rescued. If you want to spend more time on this topic, I highly recommend Anglican priest Tish Harrison Warren's new book, Prayer in the Night. It's based on the prayers of Compline, and it speaks directly to the question of suffering, darkness, and faith. She writes, "Although God uses everything, he does not cause suffering as a means to some greater good. God himself is the greatest good, and he judges. He ultimately defeats and destroys anything that does not flow from his goodness." As believers, nothing can detach us from God's goodness. I want to close by praying the final lines of Romans 8 together. They aren't just words. They are assurance that God has you in his hands and you are safe no matter what. No matter what befalls you in this world. And that's not a feeling, it's a certainty. So let's pray these together. It's Romans 8, 38 through 39. Should be on the screen. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height or depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I now invite you to stand.